Chapter 4. The drive to Clanton took 15 hours, more or less, if you went with the truckers on the busy four lanes and fought the bottlenecks around the cities, and it could be done in one day if you were in a hurry. Ray was not. He packed a few things in the trunk of his Audi TT Roadster, a two-seat convertible he had owned for less than a week, and said farewell to no one, because no one really cared when he came or went, and left Charlottesville. He would not exceed the speed limits, and he would not drive on a four-lane if he could possibly avoid it. That was his challenge, a trip without sprawl. On the leather seat next to him, he had maps, a thermos of strong coffee, three Cuban cigars, and a bottle of water. A few minutes west of town, he turned left on the Blue Ridge Parkway and began snaking his way south on the tops of the foothills. The TT was a 2000 model, just a year or two off the drawing board. Ray had read Audi's announcement of a brand new sports car about 18 months earlier, and he had rushed to order the first one in town. He had yet to see another, though the dealer assured him they would become popular. At an overlook, he put the top down, lit a Cuban, and sipped coffee, then took off again at the maximum speed of 45. Even at that pace, Clanton was looming. 4 hours later, in search of gas, Ray found himself sitting at a stoplight on Main Street in a small town in North Carolina. Three lawyers walked in front of him, all talking at once, all carrying old briefcases that were scuffed and worn almost as badly as their shoes. He looked to his left and noticed a courthouse. He looked to his right and watched as they disappeared into a diner. He was suddenly hungry, both for food and for sounds of people. They were in a booth near the front window, still talking as they stirred their coffee. Ray sat at a table not too far away and ordered a club sandwich from an elderly waitress who had been serving them for decades. One glass of iced tea, one sandwich, and she wrote it all down in great detail. Chef's probably older, he thought. The lawyers had been in court all morning haggling over a piece of land up in the mountains. The land was sold, a lawsuit followed, etc., etc., and now they were having the trial. They had called witnesses, quoted precedents to the judge, disputed everything the others had said, and in general had gotten themselves heated up to the point of needing a break. "And this is what my father wanted me to do," Ray almost said aloud. He was hiding behind the local paper, pretending to read but listening to the lawyers. Judge Reuben Attlee's dream had been for his sons to finish law school and return to Clanton. He would retire from the bench, and together they would open an office on the square. There they would follow an honorable calling, and he would teach them how to be lawyers, gentleman lawyers, country lawyers. Broke lawyers was the way that Ray had figured things. Like all small towns in the South, Clanton was brimming with lawyers. They were packed in the office buildings opposite the courthouse square. They ran the politics and banks and civic clubs and school boards, even the churches and little leagues. Where exactly around the square was he supposed to fit in? During summer breaks from college and law school, Ray had clerked for his father, for no salary, of course. He knew all the lawyers in Clanton. As a whole, they were not bad people. There were just too many of them. Forrest's turn for the worse came early in life and put even more pressure on Ray to follow the old man into a life of genteel poverty. The pressure was resisted, though, and by the time Ray had finished 1 year of law school, he had promised himself he would not remain in Clanton. It took another year to find the courage to tell his father, who went 8 months without speaking to him. When Ray graduated from law school, Forrest was in prison. Judge Attlee arrived late for the commencement, sat in the back row, left early, and said nothing to Ray. It took the first heart attack to reunite them. But money wasn't the primary reason Ray fled Clanton. Attlee and Attlee never got off the ground because the junior partner wanted to escape the shadow of the senior. Judge Attlee was a huge man in a small town. Ray found gas at the edge of town and was soon back in the hills, on the parkway driving 45 miles an hour, sometimes 40. He stopped at the overlooks and admired the scenery, He avoided the cities and studied his maps. All roads led, sooner or later, to Mississippi.